Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Let's go to Hour number 2. For more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook as well. Now, let's get to the show.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get on.
Get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, we are smack dab in the middle of the holiday season.
Gearing up.
I got still got a little bit of turkey coma going here.
I've still got some leftovers. That's okay, though.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
One of my little secrets for leftovers is I cook my signature rolls that everybody likes. You know, I get up super early in the morning before Thanksgiving, get them rising, everything good. And then about 2 days later, I make another batch. That way I've got fresh.
You got sandwich bread.
Sandwich bread. Absolutely.
For me, there's only one time a year where I buy a certain condiment, and it's this time of year, and it's Miracle Whip. I don't know what it is about leftover turkey sandwiches with Miracle Whip, but that's like the only thing that I like that condiment on.
There you go.
It's good. And I've got some sitting at home.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I like making my little turkey sandwiches with the fresh rolls. That's we're in the business there. For
absolutely,
that
some stuffing. Get it all in.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so good.
A little cranberry. Good to go at that point.
Absolutely.
Of course, got to have the pumpkin pie.
Man, I'm hungry now. It's lunchtime.
See, it's lunchtime. Let's get those leftovers out. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. We're talking home improvement, and right now we're talking about what everybody's doing this weekend.
But real quick, before we dive back into it, do you want to get the numbers out there?
Oh, let's get the numbers out there.
This is for anyone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have a home improvement question, give us a call or text us with your question. We'd be happy to answer it, and we will answer it on air. Our number here in the studio, 503-521-7072. And that, again, 24 hours a day, any home improvement question, we'd love to take it.
You got it. And we don't have a toll-free number because
no one does like long distance calling. It's all, you know, across the nation. So we just deal with the our local 503 prefix here.
You got it. We're bringing the 503.
we're making that national. Thank you, Chicago. Now you know that Portland, Oregon is 503.
You got it. All right. Well, let's talk about some decorating for the holidays because, you know, I have seen a lot of disasters and I've seen a lot of success stories out there. So one of the disasters we'll start out with was I had a family friend probably 15 years ago, had a really nice car collection, had a very cool old Ford, had a really cool Pontiac SJ sitting there.
I'm worried I see where this is going.
And they ran the Christmas light cord
underneath the garage?
You got it, darn. Oh. Underneath the garage door. And so when every time somebody walked out the garage door, that garage door sat there and hammered on the extension cord. Bam, bam, bam. And unfortunately, these wonderful people didn't have insurance because they thought the cars were safe inside the garage.
Oh, no.
So they go out. Christmas lights automatically kick on because they're on a timer. And the garage fire starts.
Yep.
And totals two cars and destroys the garage and part of the home. So one of my tricks when I'm remodeling is to make sure that I've got exterior outlets for all my Christmas lights because I like putting my Christmas lights up. But the thing is you don't want to run those under the garage. So if you don't have enough exterior outlets, one of my favorite tricks, and I've done this in a number of homes that I've had, is I'll put a switch circuit that you can now put a smart home switch on.
Okay.
And you put outlets that are GFCI outlets in the eaves.
So you don't have any cords exposed now. You can put your plug-in out there for your Christmas lights.
And it's right there next to where they're hanging.
They're right there, so there's no cords hanging down. You can put them up there, and you're good to go. And with LEDs, you can run a long run now. So you could put in half the outlets you used to be able to put, because you could only put a couple, you know, you might only put 30 or 40 feet together with the old lights. Now you can put a, you can get one big, long, long roll and be good. So that is literally a couple hundred dollar, you know, under $500 if you had an electrician come out and do something crazy for you, if you had some complex issue. But now you've just eliminated those cords being an issue for your Christmas lights, and you can use a smart home control to control it.
I was going to say, yeah, you're eliminating headaches when it comes. I mean, because I don't get me wrong, I love decorating for the holidays, but, you know, getting up on the ladder and everything and going around, making sure, you know, all the lights are working and they're all hanging right. It's like being able to just have the plug
cord
in right
management
there.
And just plug done, in and good go. To go. Oh, yeah. That is the easiest way, and it's safe. And you don't have to worry about all those cords hanging down and plugging in, and it's just good to go. And you've got much better control on when they turn on and when they turn off. You can turn them on yourself if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot you can do with that. But really getting into it, the first thing I want to talk about is ladder safety. And I'm horrible with ladder safety sometimes. And I know Julie even last weekend was shaking her head at me because Sparks had my ladder.
Oh, so it's his fault.
I'm going to blame Sparks. So, yeah. So Sparks is my producer over at Morgadoy Organ, who video and produces all of my segments over there. But he's got my big ladder. So, and if you're listening, Sparks, I need to get the ladder back. But yeah, I'm going to call you. So anyway, what we're doing is I only have my 6-foot step ladder, and so I need to get up on the roof. So I maybe made some choices that were not OSHA approved to get up there, but I did, and it worked out really well. So
are you saying you'd recommend this?
No, that's why I'm not giving any more details than I am. Because I don't want to give anybody any ideas, because you knew
going into it. You're like,
I was safe. I knew what I was doing. But it's at the same point. That's how accidents happen. But you get the right ladder, you know, have an extension ladder to get up there. Don't go standing on the top of the step ladder, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody's done it once. And I've been bitten by that too. I mean, I was at working at Eagle Hardware back in the day, and I was getting something down off a shelf, and there was a ladder there, and I, you know, put my foot square on that sign that says "Do not step here." We've all done that maybe once. Yeah, and the ladder kicked out, and next thing I do, I'm laying on the ground.
Going,
that sucked.
Can't breathe.
So that's how people really get hurt badly. So there is a cool app out there that you can put on your phone. It's NIOSH. And if you look up ladder safety on your phone, here's what's cool. One of the biggest complaints with step ladders is they don't go tall enough. But when you get an extension ladder, people have a hard time getting the angle right. They get them up, you know, think of the...
If you're National too vertical, yeah. You go tall, you're top heavy, and then you have the chance of falling over. If you slant it too much, then the ladder can get pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah, think of Christmas vacation.
Yep.
Putting the lights up. Had it too vertical. Fell over backwards.
Yep.
So this uses your cell phone. You put your cell phone on the ladder rung, and it tells you if you have the angle correct.
Does it tell you like which rung to put it on? So
it doesn't matter because they're all the same. So it'll measure that angle the same. And so put it on there and it'll say, warning.
Too steep or
too low. You know, you see people out there that put them too low and they get too much of an angle going. Well, then the bottom loves to kick out because you're putting too much pressure on the bottom feet.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that you can use. And there's a ton of little ladder safety tricks with that. And it works out really well. So use the free app. It will get you there. It really will. And if it saves you from falling, that's a great deal because bad things happen. I know of people that have died from falling from a 6-foot stepladder because they landed wrong.
Yeah. Or have lifelong repercussions because of that one decision.
Yeah. So let's not ruin our holidays by getting hurt out there.
Don't spend it in the hospital.
No, please. Just be careful with this. And you know, my house that I had 5 or 6 years ago, what did I do? I went down to the Home Depot rental center and I rented a lift. for about $250.
Okay.
For a few hours.
It's not bad.
No. And I just didn't want to get on the ladder because it was, first off, it was a kind of a goofy house where the second story was back. So I couldn't really get a ladder in there easily because it was the second story was stepped back far enough.
Okay.
I couldn't get a extension ladder up to get to that kind of dormer up there to put the lights on it. And when you stood there, I'd almost have to put scaffolding up to get there. So I'm like, forget it.
Get the lift.
Yeah. My neighbors thought I was crazy. They're like, that is the most amazing thing.
To put up Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah. I'm up there with that swing arm lift. Whoop, 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 put my thing up. And it got the Christmas lights up. And like in no time. It was awesome. All right. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about electrical cord safety and holiday lights just as soon as Around the House returns.
What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder, and this is not your grandma's home improvement show.
You got it. This is where we take your calls. We take your questions on social media. How do we do that, brother?
Speaking of calls, if you want to give us a call here in the studio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 503-521-7072. That also works as a text line. So say that you're busy or you're in the middle of something, just have a quick question, send us a text there. We'll get back to you. We'll get you in the show.
This show airs at all different times. I mean, even in Portland here, it airs from noon to 2 on AM 860 The Answer and midnight to 2 for all you night owls out there. So it's one of those things that if you're listening to the show, get a hold of us at that number. We will get back with you. That way, no matter where you're listening, whether it's in Chicago, Illinois, or Bend, Oregon, you've got a way to get a hold of us, and we'll put you on the show with your questions.
And for those of you who may not live in the United States, we do have quite a few podcast listeners across the world, really. Head over to the Facebook page, shoot us a message that way. That's another way that we can reach out and build a connection there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll help you out with there, and we cross all those. I love it when we get those international stuff. Yeah. It's great.
Like Switzerland. We've got people listening all over the place. Australia.
Ireland. We've got a lot there, too. So Japan has been big recently, too. So it's good. So
thank you
to all you guys listening on the radio show, the podcast, streaming it online, wherever you're listening to. We really appreciate it. Well, I want to talk a little bit about electrical cord safety here, because this is not only just a holiday thing, but it's something that you see happen a lot. And I want to make sure that people understand that good electrical cords can cause a lot of problems, even if you've got one that's in good condition, but you're using the wrong size. It's just like if you're using power tools, like if you've got a table saw and you're out working on your back fence and you've got a 100-foot extension cord and you've got a lighter duty commercial extension cord, guess what? You might burn the motor up by using that small cord, because that length of wire with the resistance, you get less power at the end and you could underpower something.
So would that ruin the tool or would it ruin the cord?
Ruins the tool.
Okay.
Because the motor runs
off of the power that's being supplied.
Correct. It's running lower voltage, and now you can burn the motor up inside that tool by doing that. If you have an air compressor or something like that, you can under voltage the thing and under amp it, and now you've got a problem where you could actually damage that. So you got to be careful with that, because you do get line loss through an extension cord. So you always want to have the right gauge of cord that you're trying to run. You want to run that big, thick extension cord. That's why years ago I started replacing all my extension cords with, even if I'm using them for light duty stuff, just with heavier stuff, because I just don't have to worry about it.
Nothing wrong with more power.
No, and more power.
Yeah, you knew where I was going with that.
Okay, we're going to sound like another
TV
show. But yeah, so the thing is you got to have that. And so when you have that, you know, you're good. You want to make sure that you're not running your outdoor lights off of some weird lamp cord or something like that that's way undersized. And even when you're doing LEDs, you need to take into account the power, because LED lights use an amazing amount of power for that millisecond when it fires up, because it has to have a power surge to basically light and fire off that LED.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this instant quick little surge of power. Well, you want, if you have thousands of lights on that, you want to make sure you've got the right cord for that, so you can get the correct length of life out of these lights, because like anything, if you underpower stuff, you're gonna hurt something. And it's not usually the cord. If you're burning the cord up, then you've got other breaker issues and things like that.
I just wasn't sure with something like a high powered tool and something like that through a low powered cord that it would overpower, like, or that it would be trying it could heat fry up the cord.
I mean you could damage the cord long term, yeah, but you're gonna probably you're gonna probably ruin that. But if you've got a tool that's already worn out, or a cord that's already worn out, that maybe you've got it hot and you've damaged the cord and it's in poor condition, yeah, you can get a fire there. I've seen cords start sparking at job sites because it's been run over enough or whatever
else. It's the job cord that they bring with them everywhere.
It's
beat up.
Beat up. And I'll speak about this too, because I had one job site that I was in the Seattle area that I walked in and I went, people are going to die here.
That's not a good thing to think of when you walk onto a job site.
So think of this. It was a framed house, fully stick framed, sheathing on the roof. So plywood was up, no roofing materials, and they were finishing up interior framing. And it was a torrential downpour.
Ooh.
So I'm supposed to be in there measuring the kitchen. And I walk in the front door and I look up and there's a temporary railing that's made out of 2x4s. And there's a balcony with the staircase that goes up. Nice big wooden frame staircase. And it looked like Multnomah Falls coming off this. There was maybe an inch or two of water careening.
Oh, geez.
Off this framed house. And I looked down, and because you have 2x4s around, I'm standing in an inch and a half of water, and I can see submerged 6 extension cords.
Are you kidding me?
Including where they're connected together.
Are you kidding me?
Fully underwater.
I would be nowhere near that standing water. Oh.
And wow. So I walk in and I'm like, whoa, 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 yeah. Whoa.
I'm not working here.
Yeah, I'm out of here. And here's the crazy thing. It had a GFCI breaker that was out at the temporary power box. And there was one dude standing out there that was the assistant that when that kicked off, they'd go, power! And he'd click the reset button and they continue.
And they just keep going. Working. Oh, man.
Yeah. Brutal. So we need to be smart with electricity. And I saw this on a post on one of the home improvement pages out there, because I admin one and I'm in a bunch of different ones out there. But somebody had decided to take a Tupperware type container, cut the ends out, and put their cord connection in there. My comment was, as well as others, that was a really bad idea, because all you're doing is creating a water collection device to submerge that cord connection is.
Yeah.
You're better off laying it in the ground, because you're probably not going to submerge it.
At least the ground's going to soak it up. The Tupperware, it just can't go anywhere.
Exactly. Hey, let's talk a little bit more about outdoor lighting just as soon as Around the House returns.
Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family, friends, and all the fans. If you're gonna take on the world, fight like a band.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, where we're fighting like a band. Thanks to Ron Keel there. This is where you talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
We're having a great time here talking Christmas lights. what everybody wants to talk about this time.
Absolutely.
Of year. It's decorating season.
I imagine you're probably out there doing it this weekend. This would be the weekend, first
Absolutely.
One in December.
Absolutely. This is that prime time because everybody's too full of turkey, but they're going to make it happen anyway.
Or go outside
and hide.
Or you're one of those people that just leave them up all year long.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
That's actually a good one. And that's something I wasn't even going to talk about, but you bring that up and that's actually a really good one. Christmas lights, unless you're buying commercial exterior lights, are designed to be put up for a month or two and taken down for the year and put back up again and inspected between every time you do it. That plastic is not designed to last 365 days out in the hot, the cold, the whatever.
It's just meant for just about a month, and it can do cold, obviously. Because it's in December.
It's meant to do, in the desert Southwest, where it might get 80 degrees outside or 90 degrees.
But not for 365 days straight.
It is not meant for that. If you want to put yourself at risk of burning a house down, put them up year long and keep them up there. Now, if you want to do it, they make commercial lights that you'll get 5 to 10 years out of. That you see in car lots and circuses and things like that, fairs, and are meant to go all year long. They're meant to take weather abuse. These, no intention of a $24 light set meant to be outside for more than a couple months a year.
No.
And then maybe you'll get 3 or 4 or 5 years out of them. But think about that. If you get 3 or 4 or 5 years out of them, that's only 6 or 8 months of use.
Total.
Right?
Yeah.
Total. So nobody wants you to be burning the house down out there. So be very careful with that. That's one of those things. And I see people that put the commercial ones up and I'm like, all right, if you like that look, knock yourself out. It's easy. And if you are older or you have some ability issues where you can't afford to put them up, spend the money, get the right ones, put them up there and just let it go.
Yep. Or you don't want to deal with the every year untangling the Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah. Go for it. But just get the right product for the job, because that's the big one. So let's talk about tree safety here a little bit. And this can be whether you're running. Let's talk first about fresh trees out there. If you go out, this year it's a little better because Thanksgiving is late in the year this year.
It's about as late as it could be.
Exactly. It's we have a shortened season. So when you have Thanksgiving that's like in the 20th, let's say, I'm making a date up, when it's that early and you have 6 or 7 weeks between then and Christmas, people go out after, I'm going to go cut my tree. Awesome. About the 20th, you got a fire hazard.
Yeah, it's dried up and
it's dropping. All it takes is one bad light and you've got a major house fire in your hands. And we've all seen the TV news segments where the fire department burns a house down with the tree. Yep. Got it. We've all seen those. Now, you just need to manage that well. I'd give yourself 3 or 4 weeks of a tree and call it good. I mean, you could, there's 100,000 tales of additives you can put in. Oh, I put this in my water. I put that in my water. You could probably put some stuff in there that might give you another few days or a week out of it. But I haven't seen anything that's a magic cure-all. But more importantly, just be careful. If it's going to be fire hazard inside your home, don't have it there or don't use the lights.
That, or just wait a little bit after Thanksgiving. Wait until we get into December. That way you get your full 3 weeks and still come the holiday, it still looks just as good as when you cut it down.
Yep, absolutely. Now, here's the other part. People that have the artificial or fake trees. Mm-hmm. We have artificial trees because one of the kids is allergic to the tree.
Okay.
Health issue.
Yep. Valid reason.
Valid reason. I would much prefer a live one, but looks beautiful and everybody's happy and everybody's safe. So it's perfect. Make sure that tree is in good condition, because so many people with trees that are the artificial ones, they take them down, throw them in the box, throw them up top, put them back up again, and wires get broken, loose. You can catch that thing on fire too.
I guess that's good to know. I'm a single male. I live by myself, so I don't necessarily go all out for the holidays, but I do have an artificial tree that I put up. But like you just said, like the end of last year, I put it back in the box. Haven't taken it out since. I'm about to take it out here in a little bit. Hopefully it's in good shape. What should I look for?
So look for, first off, check the cord first, right? You know, the
cords cord, that all connect that go all through the corner, it.
Yeah. As you put it together, just take a look at it. Make sure you don't have any broken frayed wires. Make sure that there's not wires pulling out of the side of a light, you know, one of the little mini lights or whatever size light that's on there. Make sure that you don't have any bare wires with that. Make sure that all the cabling's correct. And then make sure that when it's been put together, you haven't jammed things together and caught a wire in there. That's one of the most common ways, is you'll stack the second metal piece to the third metal piece on each other, and you get a wire caught in there, and now you've got a bare wire.
Yeah, okay.
That's the best way to keep an eye on that, and you're probably good. But if you start getting weird light flickers and things like that, maybe it's time to put a new tree.
Red flag.
Yeah, red flag. Watch that. That's one of the big ones. Now, here's one of the ones that I want to talk about before we go out to break here, and I think we've got enough time to tackle this one. The fireplace. This can be whether you've got a wood-fired, gas-fired, wood stove, anything that puts out a significant amount of heat. This is where I see mistakes happen that can be expensive.
Well, and I would say that second to the tree, the fireplace is probably the most utilized holiday area as far as decorating and hanging stuff up and all sorts of stuff. Like it's
absolutely
got to be safe with it though.
So if you think about it, if you've got that polyester stocking that's hanging from the mantle,
mm-hmm.
We're talking so traditional and super cool. I love this time of year. But then somebody decides to start a fire in the fireplace, or click on the gas fireplace. Somebody hits the light switch, or
go ambiance, holidays, yeah. Family's here. Let's put the fire on.
So now I've got something flammable.
Extremely flammable. It's polyester.
It's polyester. It's dangling in front of the fireplace, in front of a heat source. That can be a problem. That also can happen is if you've got that right next to the tree. Because if you've got that, you know, people, I'm going to put it in the corner over there by the fireplace. Awesome. Got your fresh tree. It smells great. December 24th. Family's there. You know, it's cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
I'm going to start a fire.
And you didn't know just how much of a fire you were going to start.
You got it. So again, let's use some common sense with that. And then make sure you don't put that tree over there in front of a, you know, one thing I see is a
baseboard heaters,
wall heaters, even putting a tree over the top of a heat register can make a big difference.
Oh, like a vent or anything like that?
Yeah, just one of those vents, because you're cranking hot air. You're drying, you put it in the clothes dryer. First thing it
hits, yeah.
So think about what you're doing. If you got to close a vent up or something like that, do it and do a good job of it, because anything you're doing with that, you're actually creating that whole problem with that. So just be careful with that, because you can cut a big lifespan out of that tree with a heat vent up underneath that thing. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep it dry. Yeah, you're going to dry that
real
thing
dry.
Out. So, again, be careful with that and make sure that you're safe there. Now, space heaters, we talked a little bit about. This is that time of year that we see fires, bad fires. Half the time it's in an office complex because somebody's sitting in their cubicle. They've got the little space heater sitting
under
there,
the
right?
desk.
Under the desk. Because, man, they keep it cold in here. Well, they go out to lunch, they leave Friday afternoon, and they forget to unplug the heater.
Not even turning, you would say unplug it, not turning it.
I want to unplug it.
Yeah.
I think space heaters, when not in use, should be unplugged. Then what happens is maybe they were throwing some paper away, you know, missed the recycle bin, kicked over next to the heater because the heater's not directly in front of you because that's where your feet are naturally. I see so many commercial building fires that sprinkler systems go off. Well, you've got computers, desktops, and the sprinklers go off in that area where the fire went. You've got a bigger problem. And that's what you got to be careful with. And with space heaters as well, and kids' bedrooms and things like that with baseboard heaters, all it takes is the blankets to get thrown off the bed or something piled up in the corner, and you got a big, big problem. And now if you've got a cadet heater, make sure you've taken those wall heaters apart, those fan drive ones. Make sure you got that thing cleaned out. Vacuum those things out. You should have done that already. We'll talk more decorating for the holidays just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
You're going to make fun of me again, aren't you?
I'll let that one go. Oh,
okay.
It's going to be a recurring thing. Welcome back. I'm going to do something to you a little bit.
I know it. I just...
You're an ex-rock DJ. Yeah. Of course you do. I never got to do it, so I'm taking my opportunity when you get into your old school ways to growl a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Saturday.
Holiday decorating.
Saturday. Sunday. All right, let's get back here to Around the House and talk about holiday decorating and just being a little safe here. You know, one of the other things I see that people make mistakes with is staircases. And this is one of those things that I think you need to really be careful with, because people love to sit there and wrap the banister mm-hmm. with the garland yep. and the whatever. You are now impeding a safety device. And I don't want to be sitting here being the bearer of bad news, but if grandma's coming to stay with you for the week, for Christmas, you're okay. not giving her anything okay. to hold on to.
Understandable.
So be a little careful with that. Think of your guests that are coming over and make sure that you've got it fastened in a way that maybe people can still grab a hold of if they're carrying stuff downstairs or something like that, that they've got a way to catch themselves before they fall.
Now, when I was growing up, my mom loved to put a garland down the banister. So we also had a handrail on the other side.
See, now you're good. You got a handrail.
Okay, as long as there's one there, at least something to stabilize, that's what we're looking for.
My house, we've got it just on the one side.
Yeah, you only have the banister that comes down.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with that. So that's one of those things you just need to be careful with, because think of the people that are accessing your home and think about that safety there as well. And then I want you to make sure and go around and check your smoke detectors.
Should have done this
one more time.
Especially if you didn't do it about a month ago when we told you to.
Exactly. And then, hey, I want to give one more holiday safety tip that I want you to be doing now, since we're in most areas that are listening audience here in that very big freeze type of situation. I want you popping about every 2 weeks. I want to see you sticking your head in your crawl space and making sure everything's fine. Right now, this time of year, it's a big thing. You can have a broken pipe. You can have so many different things going on. You can have rodents. You can have raccoons, skunks.
Well, yeah, they're trying to get out of the cold.
They're trying to get out of the cold. So I want you know, maybe the neighbor's cat's missing. I want you to take some time and make sure you're scoping that out. Do not forget about that crawl space. And if it is out of control down there and you've got problems, get it taken care of. But I don't want you to have broken pipes. I have seen some horror stories with crawl spaces out there that had broken pipes, even broken drain lines that caused... I saw one house 2 years ago that had $100,000 of the damage.
Wow.
Because they had a drain line that was coming out of the laundry and the kids were in the house. Dad was out of town and home every once in a while. I just never paid attention to it. It broke the foundation because they washed the foundation out from the washing machine running. And then where they realized they had a problem was that the countertops had sunk so bad it was binding the refrigerator up against the wall and they couldn't get the refrigerator out. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a mess. And I knew when I took a look at it, when I pulled the access cover off and saw steam coming out, that we had a problem.
And that they probably hadn't looked down there in quite some time.
No. And so they had a partial foundation replacement. They had mold and mildew. They had a kitchen that was going to have to be completely gutted, and they were going to have to jack the house up to get it back to level again, because they basically tacoed the center of the house.
Wow.
All from a broken drain line from the washing machine that could have been a $200 fix with a plumber coming over to fix that.
A one-day fix.
One-day fix.
Turns into a six-figure
job that your insurance isn't going to cover.
Because
most likely because you just neglected on repairs.
That's you not checking up on your stuff. They are not at fault for that.
Exactly. So it's one of those things that you're going to get caught with. So don't ruin your holiday season. Watch that stuff. Spend those times with the storms, walking around, and make sure you got your house dialed in, and it's going to save you a ton of money. All right, everybody, get back to your turkey. Go back and eat. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening to Around the House. House.
House by Eric G. is produced by Design by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by Envision Networks. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019. Design by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all the shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. We really appreciate it. Like and follow us on Facebook. That's Around the House with Eric G. And make sure you listen to the podcast and subscribe, follow, comment, and share to all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. For more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Make sure and follow our podcast Shorts, which is our midweek special on Wednesdays, and Around the Toolbox for the trades on Thursdays. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.